This is humanity, bitch, and you should appreciate it. Woo!
All right, welcome to the Young Turks. Cenk Uygur, Anna Kasparian with you guys. And look at all these people that already signed up. We just got started. What in the world? Willie in Michigan, Ultra Pulp, KPL, Mr. State, all either signed up or did contributions through tyt.com/join. I love starting strong. Okay, we got a strong show for you guys. Usual ups and downs. But the TikTok story, there's couple of stories here, including the TikTok one, that I think is going to show you how politics and media works definitively. And it's a beaut, so stay around for that. In that story, Rand Paul is correct, but for all the wrong reasons. You're gonna love it. Okay, but let's get started.
We begin with some updates on the war on Gaza, something that we haven't been covering over the last few days, but obviously we have not forgotten the story. So with that in mind, let's get to it.
The fourth major obstacle to peace is Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who has all too frequently bowed to the demands of extremists like Ministers Smotrich and Ben-Gavir and the settlers in the West Bank. At this critical juncture, I believe a new election is the only way to allow for a healthy and open decision-making process about the future of Israel.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer called out Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, and called for new elections, early elections, in order to oust the Prime Minister. Now, Chuck Schumer also praised Netanyahu's past, but claimed that he has allegedly lost his way and is no longer able to usher in peace between Israel and the Palestinians. Just want to give you a reminder and also a counter to Schumer's allegations that Netanyahu used to be a good guy, but suddenly devolved into a bad guy, by mentioning the fact that Netanyahu has always rejected the notion of a two-state solution. And Netanyahu also helped to fund and prop up Hamas, something that the United States politicians typically don't like to talk about, something that's forgotten in a lot of the reporting, and something that I think is really important to focus on when it comes to who Netanyahu really is and how he has been an obstacle to peace, not just right now, but ever since he came into power. With that in mind, Schumer also criticized Bibi's obvious disregard for civilian lives lost in the Gaza Strip, which recently passed another devastating milestone. According to the United Nations and the Ministry of Health in Gaza, more children have died in the Palestinian territories over the past 5 months of war than have been killed in all armed conflicts worldwide over the past 4 years. And just a few more stats for you to really understand how devastating the situation is on the ground in Gaza. Let's take a look at this, where it shows that a total of 12,193 children were killed in conflict globally between 2019 and 2022, and that's according to the annual reports by the United Nations. From October 7th through February of this year, approximately 12,300 children were killed in Gaza, and the Ministry of Health says that number has gone up to 13,450. So I do appreciate that Senate Majority Leader Schumer was willing to call for elections to oust Benjamin Netanyahu. I'm not sure his replacement would be much better. There's a lot of talk about a less extreme politician serving in that role, but we've seen previous prime ministers in Israel in recent decades, Cenk, and I really haven't seen a big difference in their policies toward Palestinians.
Yeah, there's been subtle differences and small attempts at two-state solution versus no attempts, and the level of brutalization is a little bit different too. Okay, so I think the number one point of this story is, wow, they lost Schumer. If the right-wing government of Israel has lost Schumer and Thomas Friedman, then they're in a world of trouble, Okay, so let me explain. Thomas Friedman, of course, writes for the New York Times, one of the best known columnists, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on your perspective. And he recently wrote an op-ed saying that Israel has become radioactive. Mm-hmm. Now, look, there's a couple of reasons why Schumer and Friedman are more important than the average bear. So yes, they're prominent Jewish Americans, and that's a little relevant to this story, but mainly they're relevant as bellwethers of the establishment. And they don't just speak for themselves, they've talked to other folks. There is no council, there is no like cabal or any nonsense like that. But do they talk to other influential people? And some that are in the Jewish community, some maybe in the evangelical Christian community, some in the business community, etc. Before they go rush out there and give a speech on the floor of the Senate or write a giant op-ed in the New York Times. Of course they do. And part of Thomas Friedman's job and Schumer's job is to do that, mm-hmm. is to collect some degree of consensus. Now, I would love it if it was for the voters. In Schumer's case, as with all politicians, it's mainly consensus around the donors, right? And that's what he's representing. But that's even more relevant in this case. If the donor class and the establishment class are saying Israel has gone too far and we're going to put Netanyahu under a bus, that is very, very important, okay? So look, it doesn't mean that if they got rid of Netanyahu that everything would be great. And would Schumer want to continue the occupation? He says no, he says two-state solution. I've never really seen him push in that direction. And I've seen him give Israel tens of billions of dollars over the years when they weren't going anywhere near a two-state solution. But look, at this point, I will definitely take it. Netanyahu's not just a scapegoat. He is actually core evil, core part of the problem. He has been the one denying the state and brutalizing Palestinians. And Schumer called out Ben-Gvir and Smotrich. I butcher his name every time. Well, much better than what he does in butchering actual human beings. So Schumer's saying, do not replace him with another lunatic right winger. And Friedman is saying similar things, and they've started to call out those three in particular. That is actually a great development, because would Benny Gantz be like a peacenik, another member of the cabinet, but he's actually in the opposition? The way the parliamentary system works is different than how it works here. Would he be an angel and all of a sudden give the Palestinians a state overnight? No, but would he definitely be better than those guys? Yes. Will I take my chances with Benny Gantz or someone like him? Yeah, I much, much, much prefer that than the status quo, which is monstrous.
Yeah, I mean, look, the human toll in the Gaza Strip is just, it's brutal, it's unbearable, it's difficult to focus on it every day as we produce the show. And it takes a mental toll on you because of just how devastating the scenes are from what's happening on the ground in Gaza. And you know, I gave you some of the statistics of how many people have died so far, but just over the last 24 hours, 69 people have been reportedly killed in Gaza, bringing the total death toll to 31,341. Now, if you're not watching this live and you're watching this as a video on demand later, the number is very likely higher than what I'm reporting at this moment. And the exact magnitude of the casualties due to things like hunger and disease is something else that you should be concerned about, because it's hard to quantify how much of an impact that's had, how many lives have already been lost as a result of starvation and dehydration. Israel's severe restrictions of aid entering Gaza have condemned Palestinians to deadly hunger, leaving at least 27 Palestinians in Gaza dead due to malnutrition and dehydration, according to the health ministry. And remember, there are bodies trapped under rubble that are not counted in the death toll yet. And so once all of those bodies are counted, once that's also included in the death toll, just understand the number is going to be much higher. And according to people on the ground, witnesses who are speaking to journalists, they also indicate just how severe the crisis has become. For instance, these days, Jihad Abu Watfa, 27, finds himself riding his bicycle along the dusty streets of Bet Lahia, in northern Gaza. He watches as hungry children scavenge for food, but he cannot help them. Children often search for food in the garbage, he said. There are many people who already fast like it's Ramadan, he told CNN in late February as the holy month approached. But even as Gazan civilians grow more and more desperate for resources, unfortunately, the Israeli military is still targeting UN facilities in charge of dispersing, putting out, passing out the humanitarian aid. The UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, for instance, said in a statement Wednesday that at least one of its staff members was killed and 22 were injured when Israeli forces struck one of its food distribution centers in southern Gaza. The Israeli military acknowledged the strike, saying it had targeted a Hamas commander. Now, these numbers haven't been independently confirmed, but local human rights organizations also reported that the strike killed 5 people in total. The Israeli Defense Forces said in a statement that it killed Muhammad Abu Hazna in the strike on the building in Rafah, describing him as involved in taking control of humanitarian aid and distributing it to Hamas terrorists. And Hamas has confirmed that yes, he did die in that IDF military operation. They also said, Hamas, that he was the deputy head of police operations in Rafah. So it's the same thing. It's look, there might be innocent human lives there. We might be targeting a humanitarian aid organization or a facility that has the humanitarian aid that's supposed to be passed out to Palestinians. But if we suspect that there's a Hamas militant within the building or near the building, they're gonna do the airstrike or they're gonna do the shelling. They're gonna do the military operation, which will maybe take out one militant, but obviously kill many others that are innocent civilians.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Look, so I know that in the old days this would have been considered third rail, intensely controversial. These days it's pretty indisputable except for like the last holdouts of Israeli supporters. The IDF has now killed more than 25,000 women and children. They claim that the rest are all terrorists, so that all males who live in Gaza are terrorists. So that gives you a sense of who the IDF is. And whether their numbers are reliable, okay? So now their claim is, no, we're not terrorists, even though we have killed more children, more innocent children, than every conflict over the last 4 years, combined. Now, if Hamas had killed more children than all other conflicts in the world, combined, this year, let alone the last 4 years, we'd all say they're the most monstrous terrorists of all time. So now, IDF's only claim as to why they're not terrorists is, oops, we did it again. Oh, we just accidentally killed 25,000 women and children.
I think that actually is too generous to them, Cenk. No, they know that a lot of innocent people are gonna die, but they think it's worth it if just one Hamas militant is taken out in that military operation.
Yeah, that is not accidental. That is intentionally killing civilians. Mm-hmm. Intentionally butchering. And yes, when a bomb lands on someone, it butchers them. It tears them to shreds or lights them on fire, including children. When you do that intentionally, that is the definition of terrorism. IDF has now done more than 25 times the terrorism that Hamas did on October 7th. So if you think October 7th was terrible, good, you should think that it was terrible. It was awful. Now Israel has done 25 to 30 October 7th.
So just to really emphasize the fact that they, meaning the IDF, knew what they were doing and they knew that innocent civilians would die. The UN Relief and Works Agency, UNRWA, said that the distribution center near the Egyptian border was hit, even though the coordinates of the center had been shared with Israel and other parties to the conflict. So they keep informing the Israeli government and the IDF, hey, this is where we are, you know, hoping that they will be safe. And obviously that information is not persuasive to the IDF. And so UNRWA Commissioner General Philippe Lazzarini said this: "Today's attack on one of the very few remaining UNRWA distribution centers in the Gaza Strip comes as food supplies are running out, hunger is widespread, and in some areas turning into famine. Every day we share the coordinates of all of our facilities across the Gaza Strip with parties to the conflict. The Israeli army received the coordinates, including the facility yesterday. And workers at the facility, along with residents nearby, are unsurprisingly furious about the military operation. And I want to show you what I mean with this next video.
This is forbidden. We're an international institution. All of this is for people. We stopped returning to our homes. We work day and night to serve refugees. It's forbidden. People came here to get aid, to get food, to get their daily meals. It's Ramadan. How can they bombard us during the month of Ramadan?"
I mean, month of Ramadan, children in the, you know, vicinity of the bombing, like, they don't care. Like, they don't care. And that's why, you know, the argument that Hamas is using humans as, like, civilians as human shields, obviously they know that it's not gonna deter the IDF if they are using civilians as human shields.
Yeah, no, look, I can't that stand argument, that talking point anymore. It's pure drivel and propaganda. So there is no military installations in occupied territories. That's like the Germans saying, well, we had to slaughter the Jews in the ghetto because they were hiding behind their human shields. Sorry, but that's exactly what it's like. Whoa, whoa, the brave Jewish rebels that were fighting against the Germans. Where do you think they were gonna go? Do you think they had military installations? Where was the French resistance against the Germans? Did they do military installations in the middle of Paris? No, they hid because that's what all rebels do. Saying that's why we're gonna slaughter your civilians is not an excuse. So if that breaks your heart, I'm not the one breaking it. Israel is doing it by their actions. And guys, the reason I'm telling you about how now IDF is obviously a gigantic terrorist organization, if you believe in the definition of terrorism, and no one in their right mind thinks, oh golly gee, they were trying to avoid civilian casualties. That's why I say they accidentally missed and killed 25,000, a stadium full of women and children. No, they intended to kill those civilians. They say they have a good reason. You're hiding behind human shields, other propaganda, other talking point. I have a right to defend myself from something that happened 5 months ago that is not ongoing, but my slaughter of your civilians is ongoing. It doesn't matter. They've gotten to so bad that they've lost Schumer and Friedman. I have in my 40, not 40 yet, but almost 30 years of covering politics, I have never seen Schumer or Friedman turn on Israel, ever. Now Friedman's calling it radioactive, and Schumer's saying that the prime minister must be fired.
Because plausible deniability at this point is impossible. It just is, it just is. If you have your eyes wide open and you're seeing what's happening on the ground in Gaza, you can't deny what's happening. There is no excuse anymore. To your point, Cenk, the talking points don't work. They don't make sense. They don't make sense.
The only thing that the talking points do is they assuage people on your own side. Like they go, oh yeah, that's a good excuse. Good excuse. I'm gonna shut off my brain. Oh, it's Hamas's fault. Hamas made us kill their children. You really believe that? No one in their right mind can believe that. And by the way, if you do, congratulations, you agree with Hamas. Because Hamas says the same exact thing about Israel. They say, the Israelis made me kill their civilians, made me kill their children. Yeah. It is a terrorist talking point. So lastly, if you're still in la la land and you think they're doing it by accident every single time, how about the 6-year-old when her family was killed in the car? They called for an ambulance to go rescue the 6-year-old. Israel tracked the communications, murdered the 6-year-old girl and everyone in the ambulance. How about the 3 Israeli hostages? They didn't even ask who they were, they just murdered them on the spot. How about the 112 killed in what's now being called the flour massacre, flour as in for bread. So remember when the people rushed the food truck and Israel, the IDF started murdering them from tanks and drones. Those are all accidents? No, they're intending to slaughter these civilians. And that is why even the most ardent supporters of Israel in America are saying, enough. This is not good for Israel. Forget the Palestinians. I'm sorry, Chuck Schumer, to break your heart, but you've never cared about Palestine in your whole life.
True.
Never, ever, ever. You didn't mind them being occupied all these years, basically being kept prisoners and humiliated. What Schumer is saying is, hey, knuckleheads, forget the Palestinians. We never cared about them in the first place. This is hurting Israel. Turn around. Friedman even said, this is hurting Jews across the world, because now people are beginning to basically hate us. That is true, and that's terrible. They're right. It is terrible for Jews. It is terrible for Israel, let alone those poor Palestinians. Israel must turn around immediately. If they don't, they're going to do more damage to themselves than they can recover from for decades on end.
All right, when we come back from the break, we have some leaks from an AIPAC conference, and it gives you a sneak peek into their policy objectives. And knowing how incredibly powerful AIPAC is, I wouldn't be surprised if they succeed in them. So we'll tell you what the leaks say and more when we come back. Don't miss it.
Saudi Arabia and Russia will repeat your call.
On TYT, Cenk, Anna, and Otis Teich. Otis, thanks for joining. Appreciate you. Meta World Greece, that's funny, gifted a membership on YouTube, and Chris Birch gifted 5. You guys are the best. By the way, if you don't know how to gift, you go into the chat, you'll see a little dollar sign, you click on that, and that leads you to both membership and gifting. Thank you, guys. Anna.
Well, we've got some explosive reporting from the American Prospect that's worth getting into, and it has to do with some leaked documents from AIPAC. The American Prospect has obtained documents from AIPAC's annual policy conference that reveal the organization's lobbying strategies, which of course are extreme and overwhelmingly favor the interests of Israel over our own country. So let's get into what the documents say. And this is reporting by Luke Goldstein over at the American Prospect. And he says that the lobbying files promote the familiar though contested line that Israel does not target civilians. Which, I mean,
they've
got terrible aim then if they're not targeting civilians, considering the insanely high civilian death toll.
Yeah, I just one quick note here. These are the talking points that they're feeding the politicians that they have given campaign contributions to.
That's right.
So they're like, okay, now here's the money, but along with it comes talking points. You have to pretend that we accidentally killed 25,000 women and children. Like, oops. We meant to not kill them because we're angels, and the no good terrorists mean to kill them on purpose. We just are the world's worst military, bunch of incompetent nincompoops. And so we just keep murdering and murdering women and children. Go tell everybody that. Hey, Fetterman, bitch, go tell them that, right?
Yeah.
And Fetterman, of course, was in the audience going, yes, sir, where's the money, sir? Yes, sir.
Okay, yes. And he's literally doing as they say as we speak. So we'll get to that in a moment. But the other thing I wanted to just bring up, especially considering the claim that they're not, you know, targeting civilians. Remember, the UN Relief and Works Agency, also known as UNRWA, had a facility near Rafah, and the IDF just attacked it. 5 people so far that we're learning have died. Allegedly, there was a Hamas militant who also died. Hamas has confirmed it. So I think there's more evidence to back up that claim from the IDF. But UNRWA had also shared exactly where they were with the IDF to ensure that they would be safe and that they wouldn't be shelled or bombed, and they were bombed anyway. So that was just one of the more recent examples. And then I'm sure when the so-called flower massacre happened, the IDF started shooting at Palestinians as they were trying to get some humanitarian aid in, like, near northern Gaza, where they've been overwhelmingly cut off from humanitarian aid and are starving to death. When the IDF was shooting at those people, they weren't targeting the civilians, right?
Yeah, they shot at them from tanks and drones and pretended to be nervous about their welfare and health. Right. By the way, they never provided any evidence. There was a single IDF soldier that was in danger. And the drones don't have people in them, and the tanks are perfectly safe. But they massacred 112 people who were already starving and eating animal fodder. So to pretend that they are not killing people, innocent civilians, on purpose, look, it's pretty little lies. You can pretend all you like, and a bunch of the media and a bunch of the politicians pretend, and partly because they get paid to pretend. But the rest of us aren't paid. We don't have to pretend. It's obvious that Israel is killing civilians on purpose, and it is definitely a massive act of terrorism.
So a few more of the falsehoods that AIPAC is pushing in these documents that have been leaked to the American Prospect. AIPAC is telling members of Congress that Israel is not, this one is so insane. AIPAC is telling members of Congress that Israel is not blocking the delivery of aid to Gaza.
It's just a flat out lie.
And that reports that people are starving in Gaza are false. These people are evil. They're just evil, Cenk. AIPAC is evil.
Yeah.
It's evil. Even the US government, which is firmly on Israel's side no matter what, acknowledges that Israel is blocking humanitarian aid into the Gaza Strip.
And not only do they acknowledge it, we're dropping aid in and doing it so poorly, we accidentally killed a couple of people. They say that was an accident because we were trying to save their lives because our so-called ally is starving them to death. And now we're building a port off of the Gaza coast.
Yes.
Because our so-called ally is starving 576,000 people, according to the UN right now. And they're starving them to death. Already 27 people have died of starvation yesterday. 23 of them are children. We've shown you the starving and the dead children before on previous shows. And these guys are gonna pretend to do all these things. But look, AIPAC.
What is it like to, like how does it work? To the point where you convince yourself, you dehumanize human beings so effectively in your mind that you could literally see the images of them starving, okay? You can see the video that we showed last week, I believe it was a CNN report, of that little boy who died, okay? Starving to death, he starved to death. We all saw that image. How the hell does, how do members of AIPAC see that? And they have convinced themselves that these people don't matter to the extent that they're dehumanized. They don't matter at all. How do they do it? How does that process work? Because I don't understand it. And well, that's why I say it's evil. That's why I say it's evil. That is evil. That is evil, Cenk.
Yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing. So look, if those pictures looked very similar to the pictures that came out of the Holocaust. With Jews that were starving, that broke our hearts, the whole world. That's why Israel exists in the first place, because Jews needed a safe haven after this was done to them and they were brutalized. Now AIPAC turns around and goes, no, doing it as long as it's to Palestinians is perfectly fine.
I'm sorry.
So look, first of all, if you work at AIPAC, you're obviously a racist. And that's not even disputable, because you make the argument that Palestinian lives are worthless. And you could slaughter them and butcher them all day long. And that's perfectly kosher.
Guys, I'm sorry.
It's disgusting and definitely racist.
I can't keep it together with this video. We showed it to you guys last week and I literally had to tell the crew to immediately go to Cenk right when we get out of the video because I was sobbing and I just couldn't handle it. I didn't want to have to go to the video again, but here it is. This is what we're talking about. How the hell do you see this and tell our politicians, tell the international community, you better deny this is happening. In fact, it's not happening. And these lives don't matter. That's essentially the message here. And John Fetterman, who ran as a freaking progressive, okay, is totally on board with what AIPAC is pushing out. So here's the video, here's what I'm talking about.
Tiny limbs, bones protruding. The constant sound of crying from children now facing starvation in Gaza. In this overrun hospital ward, anxious mothers watch on as doctors provide whatever care they still can. But for some, there is nothing more to be done. She was healthy. There was nothing wrong with her before, Mila's mother says. Then suddenly, everything dropped. She wasn't eating anything. We had no milk, no eggs, nothing. She used to eat eggs every day before the war, but now we have nothing. Across Gaza, too many are feeling the pain of this deepening hunger crisis. Small children, emaciated and malnourished. These were little Yazan's final moments. His tiny fingers gripped in his mother's hand. He, like Mila, would not make it.
And the monsters who work at AIPAC say that that's not happening. You shouldn't believe your lying eyes. You should believe their propaganda instead. But much worse, guys, are the legislators that are there. Because I get AIPAC's purpose. AIPAC is a right-wing, monstrous lobbyist organization that works for a foreign government and wants to corrupt our politicians. So they say, oh no, we're technically getting money from Americans, but we are telling the politicians they must obey Israel. You must obey Israel. And so the Fettermans, the Schumers, by the way, the Mike Johnsons, all of the top Republican leadership and all of the top Democratic leadership, including Hakeem Jeffries, were all there. Leadership gave speeches kissing Israel's ass and saying, we swear our loyalty and allegiance to you. We will work for you instead of our own government. Where's the money? Where's the money? So don't tell me that these politicians aren't corrupt. And if you're a Democrat, don't tell me that only the Republicans are corrupt, but that Schumer and Jeffries and Fetterman are angels, and that when they take money from Israel and they help to slaughter these children, that somehow they're angels. No, they're just as corrupt. And if you're MAGA, you think the Republicans aren't corrupt? Every Republican is super happy to take that money, and they want to send more money to Israel than the Democrats do. And Trump says about the Palestinians, he sees a video like that and he says, finish them. That's what he thinks Israel should do. So monsters all around. You're supposed to work for our citizens, not someone else's.
And if you are a loyalist to Israel, regardless of what it does, still not good enough. If you just try to tweak them a little bit rhetorically, because during this conference, AIPAC was apparently very, very upset with with Joe Biden and his critique. Again, rhetorical, totally rhetorical, never backed up by any action, but his critique of Benjamin Netanyahu. So let's get to the next graphic. AIPAC dedicates an entire section of its file for members to rebuke the president's comments under the subhead, why is President Biden dictating to Israel how to fight this war while simultaneously demanding military assistance from his government? Let me just pause right there. If Israel wants to carry out war crimes, they shouldn't do it with our money. You can't, on one hand, demand that American taxpayers, who are desperate for a better life here in America, they need to hand over billions of dollars to the Israeli government and the IDF, and we need to shut the F up about any of our critique. AIPAC is evil. AIPAC is evil, evil. My fellow Americans, are you okay with that? Are you okay with a lobbying group representing the best interests of a foreign government telling you, you need to bust your ass every day, work a job that you likely hate, and have a portion of your earnings taken from you by our federal government and funneled to the Israeli government so they can commit atrocities in the Gaza Strip? Are you okay with that? Because I'm not okay with that. And nothing gets under my skin more, okay, than hearing these pieces of crap say things that make it clear that they feel entitled to our money. Entitled, entitled. That gets under my skin more than you guys understand, okay?
And as they are saying, we demand that you give us $4 billion a year. We demand that you give us an extra $14 billion. And we're not gonna stop slaughtering these people. We're gonna pretend that we're not even slaughtering them. And your job is to be our servants, US congressmen and US senators.
And American people, it's our money. It's our money.
But the problem is the corrupt politicians who take our money, give it to Israel. Why? Because they got paid by AIPAC. Look, we're gonna tell you something that you never hear in mainstream media, you barely ever hear in right-wing media. These campaign contributions are bribes. They're obvious bribes to everyone. I know the Supreme Court legalized them, but they are definitely given money to these politicians so they can get reelected, keep their power, fame, money, etc. And so all of these, every single politician that takes money from AIPAC is being bribed. Now, that's also true when they take money from Qatar or Saudi Arabia through other organizations of Americans who happen to really like Qatar, etc. It's true of all the governments. It's also true when they take money from ExxonMobil and Raytheon. But these sons of bitch corrupt politicians, they don't work for us at all. They get their bribes and they work for the people who bribed them. So AIPAC is saying to this collection of the most powerful politicians in America, we own you. We just bribed you, so you will do exactly as you're told, and you're not even allowed to complain. So shut up and give us the taxpayers' money. And our bought, intensely corrupt criminal politicians go, yes, sir, of course, sir. Who else would you like me to rob and give you the money? So just like they do for the bankers, for the oil companies, for the drug companies, our politicians, almost all of them are criminals. If you see someone is taking money from AIPAC, you should never, ever vote for them.
It advises members to say concerns about the conduct of the war against Hamas are best delivered privately, and public statements that show divergence are unhelpful and can embolden Hamas and Iran. I can't think of a group of people who are more emboldened to commit war crimes than the IDF. The idea that they're gonna take the money and no one should be able to criticize the people funding the war, the American people and the United States president funding the war. Don't criticize. Don't criticize, regardless of what Netanyahu decides to do, regardless of what the IDF decides to do, regardless of how many children you yourself witness in these videos getting slaughtered or wasting away due to malnutrition and dehydration that has been brought forth by the blockage of humanitarian aid into Gaza by the Israeli government. That is what's happening right now. That is the reality. And as hard as AIPAC wants to fight the reality of the situation and gaslight the American people about what's really happening on the ground there, we all see it. We all see it. I get that, you know, the IDF has been very effective in killing literally hundreds of journalists, but there are still brave people in Gaza who are trying to get the information to the international community. We see it. We see it with our own eyes. And good job to CNN for doing that report so more people can see what's happening on the ground there.
And great job to Luke Goldstein, by the way, who got this leaked memo from AIPAC and ran it at the American Prospect. Great job by David Dane, who's the editor there. I've got to read you three last graphics here. Graphic 7, they explain that AIPAC is looking to broaden the war and make America fight a giant war in the Middle East on their behalf.
Of course.
Other than military funding for Israel, main piece of legislation AIPAC is supporting both entails stronger actions to cut Iran off from the global economy. Those are the Iranian Sanctions Enforcement Act and the Ship Act, which would crack down on any foreign ports and refineries that process petroleum exported from Iran in violation of existing US sanctions. First of all, Israel should have US sanctions, let alone getting US aid, which is outrageous. But bottom line here, and they have a lot more detail in the article, and you should definitely read it. We'll put a link in the description box for you guys. Excellent journalism. Is that AIPAC is trying to agitate for America to start a war with Iran and to fight that war on their behalf, which of course is going to take billions. It might take trillions of dollars, and it'll cost a lot of American lives. But these politicians got money. So, okay, which leads me to the last two quotes. Graphic 8 here, the PAC touted its prowess to members as, quote, dollar for dollar, the largest contributor to candidates in the 2022 midterm elections via its super PAC, United Democracy Project. There they are saying to the legislators, remember who your boss is. We fund you more than any other PAC, so you will serve us. So who was there? Graphic 10, according to an incomplete speaker list, so there's a lot more than this. The entire Democratic and Republican leadership in Congress delivered remarks. Senators Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell and Representatives Hakeem Jeffries and Mike Johnson. Senator John Fetterman and Representative Tim Burchett were both in attendance among other representatives. So that is the entire leadership of the Republican and Democratic parties, all there to serve AIPAC and not the voters. And that is American politics.
We'll be back with an update on the attempts to ban TikTok.
on TYT here. Cenk, Anna, and let me go through these. Tony Labs, Stanley Smith, Daniel H, thank you for joining, guys. We appreciate it. We can't do any of this. And all you would get is mainstream media drivel about how wonderful Israel is if it wasn't for our members. So everybody who signs up, you guys are heroes. You make all the difference. We can't, literally can't do it without you. Brenty Baggins, thank you for upgrading. You could do that through the join button too. Also, enormous difference. Jay Brom, Dragon gifted 5 memberships. So did Constantine Cavers. Dictator gifted 10. And Tanya Dodgers gifted a membership. And I want to read this one comment here because it's so important. And I want to make sure that everybody understands this. Bud Roland wrote, and Judaism is not apartheid or genocidal. Israel is both. In my experience, the Jewish people I know, and I know a lot of Jewish folks, have been wonderful to me.
Yeah.
Incredibly generous of heart. Just amazing, beautiful people. Is it true of every Jewish person I've ever met? Of course not, because they're human beings, right? There's a range among everyone, right? But my God, my experience with Jews have been amazing and wonderful overall, right? And I'm super lucky. It has nothing to do with the religion.
Yeah.
It has to do with a government. And governments can always do, can go in the wrong direction and can do terrible things. And we must be able to criticize that while never mixing it up with the religion. And Dictator wrote in, Anna makes me so proud to be a TYT member. And of course, Cenk too. Thank you, we appreciate you.
All right, thank you.
Let's do more stories.
All right, let's finally get off of that and talk a little bit about other news, domestic news, including the ongoing efforts to ban TikTok.
It's an allegation. You are making allegations against a company owned by Americans, and you have to prove it in court.
Who owns that company? Who owns that company?
ByteDance is owned
yes,
by China. 60,
no, it's not. See, that's a lie, and you're defaming the country. You're defaming the company.
Fox News' Brian Kilmeade and Republican Senator Rand Paul sparred over whether the Senate should pass legislation to ban TikTok. The same legislation that, of course, the House passed rapidly yesterday in an effort to basically crush what they believe is a national security threat and a propaganda machine pushed on young people in America by the Chinese Communist Party. Now, all House Republicans and 37 Democrats in the House of Representatives voted to ban the social media app. So hearing Republicans speak out against the idea of banning it is actually kind of rare. And so Rand Paul is against the ban over concerns that it would violate constitutional rights to freedom of expression. Let's hear more of what he had to say.
60% of it is owned by international investors, 20% is owned by the software developers who are Chinese, and 20% is owned by the employees, 7,000 of whom are Americans.
So it's a complicated controls the algorithm?
But it's not owned by the government.
It's not about profits. Who owns the algorithm?
TikTok owns their own algorithm, and it's actually not in China.
TikTok? ByteDance. And right. Who owns ByteDance? The Chinese government.
No, they don't. See, you've just told a lie, Brian. You can't say on TV something that's a lie about a company.
Okay.
That is an out and out lie, and it's provably
what
false.
What is a lie?
And they're not owned by the Chinese government. TikTok is owned privately, and the algorithm's not in China.
So look, it's interesting because Kilmeade pushing the argument that the content on TikTok is the problem, right? And that the algorithm emphasizing certain content over other content, him saying that that's a problem because it indoctrinates youth here in America and all of that stuff, is a really bad argument if you want the ban to withstand the muster of our courts and our constitution, right? So The Washington Post reports, Americans choose to use TikTok to express themselves. Paul said Tuesday, I don't think Congress should be trying to take away the First Amendment rights of 170 million Americans.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious what you think about that argument.
Yeah. So first of all, Rand Paul is completely right. But as you're about to find out, for all the wrong reasons. So I said that this was going to start happening soon a couple of years ago, and it has now begun. So first, corporate donors started buying all of our politicians. And I wrote a book called Justice Coming, and in chapter 4, I explained how they took over the Democratic Party as well as the Republican Party. And so they all serve corporations now. Now, having said that, because all the elections are privately financed in America, so if private interests give you money, you serve private interests, right? So, but what I said was soon the corporations will start to fight each other. So it'll turn into an auction. So different corporations will buy different politicians. And as you're about to see, Rand Paul is actually bought by one of the owners of TikTok. But all the other media hates TikTok because it's competition. So Rand Paul happens to be telling the truth here, but not out of the goodness of his heart. And wait till you see the actual force behind all of these attacks against TikTok. It ain't Republicans or Democrats or politicians or even a country. You'll see, okay? And it tells you everything you need to know about American politics and media.
So look, to be fair to Rand Paul, he's not the only lawmaker who is concerned about the constitutional issues with a TikTok ban. In fact, the Washington Post also notes that the bill's supporters also have some concerns. They've questioned whether it will face the same fate as former President Donald Trump's executive order, which attempted to ban TikTok. That was blocked by the courts based on constitutional grounds. So this was in 2020, and federal courts ruled the government had not adequately proved that the app presented a national security threat. And really, if you want the law to withstand the court system, you should not focus on the content of TikTok, because that's what will probably get that law struck, blocked. You should focus on the possibility of a national security threat, which I noticed some of the politicians focusing on, others I guess didn't really get the memo. And the issue with that is they haven't proven that the algorithm is a national security threat. So I want to just give you a few excerpts from the piece explaining what I mean. So federal officials have provided no public examples of the Chinese government harvesting Americans' data or altering TikTok's algorithms in the 5 years since they launched a national security investigation into the app. In fact, FBI Director Christopher Wray, highlighting the risks, has said any tweaks to the app's algorithm would be something we wouldn't readily detect, which makes it more of a pernicious threat, said another US official. The concern is very real and based on known behavior by the CCP or Chinese Communist Party.
Okay, I can't stand this. So let me take this one at a time. First of all, the Chinese Communist Party does not own ByteDance or TikTok. Two Chinese nationals do. If you say, hey, they might be transferring it and hence it's a national security issue, okay, great. Because I don't want the Chinese having my information. I have right. TikTok too, right? So then show me a way that you block that. By the way, we already have that. It actually goes through Oracle. Oracle can block it. And there's not a single Chinese national, as far as I understand, on the board of ByteDance. So they would all have to magically agree, let's transfer the information to China, including the international investors, including the American investors. And so that's how a board works, right? So this idea that it's being siphoned by the Chinese government has not ever been proven. It's just, so now go to the second thing that the FBI director said. Well, they could change their algorithm at any moment. Well, so can Facebook and YouTube and Google and Amazon. And that doesn't serve a foreign government. Well, who does it serve? It serves that particular corporation's interests. So manipulating the American people on behalf of Amazon and Facebook is fantastic. But manipulating them on behalf of China, theoretically, even though we've never proven it, is awful. I think that both are a concern. And so when you look at the constitutional issue, Anna's absolutely right. When you say this company is making people have an opinion I don't like, hence I would like to ban them, you cannot find a more core First Amendment violation ever. That is the government banning speech it doesn't like. Mm-hmm. So it is absurd. Like everyone who voted for this, including all the dumbass Democrats that voted with the Republicans on this, are saying, yeah, we don't care about the First Amendment. We don't care about the Constitution, or we don't even know it. We're so stupid. We can't even understand the easiest things about the US Constitution. And so, guys, this is all engineered to make you get off TikTok, because TikTok is very progressive. And they don't like that. And it's competition to other media. And they definitely don't like that. So they're trying to bury it under the guise of protecting you.
Look, my problem with this is I actually don't have a super strong opinion on whether it makes sense to ban it or not. And part of the reason why is I don't feel like I can trust the purveyors of information here. Like the people who are coming out with the claims of it's a national security threat, or oh no, it's not a national security threat. It's owned by, you know, private investors. Like, and the reason why I say it is because there's money corrupting both sides of that argument, and it's super significant money. I'm talking about tens of millions of dollars in the case of Rand Paul, by the way.
Yeah, all so right. We're gonna get to the donors in 1 second, but I just wanna explain. Guys, the burden is on the people saying that you should ban an entire company. So show me any evidence that they have gotten our information to the Chinese government, and now we're having a conversation. But you have no evidence at all. It is definitely a private company. There is actual objective reality. There are people who own it. They are giant investors. They're international investors. Yes, some of them are Chinese nationals. But the Chinese government definitely does not own ByteDance or TikTok. That is not in dispute. If you hear anyone saying the Chinese government owns it, they're lying to you on purpose. Or they're totally ignorant. They just go on air without ever checking anything.
No, China doesn't own ByteDance, but I think that you also have to be honest about how ByteDance is based in Beijing. China's government is an authoritarian government.
Of course, but where are their servers based? So the servers are based in America. Mm-hmm. So that makes a giant difference. But again, if you showed me evidence, well, the servers are going from the US to China and the Chinese government could have access to it. Okay, interesting. I'm totally ready for that evidence. But if you say, I have no evidence at all, but they're my competitor and I don't like them, so I'd like to pretend they're doing it. No. And I'd like to take away the outlet for massive free speech and massive diversity of opinion of young people all across the country and across the world because I don't like their opinion. No, I am 100% against the ban on TikTok. I think it's dumb, I think it's corrupt and totally pointless.
So let's get into the money. So we had shared with you all earlier in the week that Donald Trump had done a complete 180 on the notion of banning TikTok. Remember in 2020, he tried to ban it through an executive order. And then suddenly he's like, no, we shouldn't ban it. It would empower Facebook and he's not in favor of that. Well, we found out that Trump's been courting a billionaire, you know, political donor by the name of Jeffrey Yass or Jeff Yass. And Jeff Yass owns a 15% stake in TikTok. So he wants a return on his investment. He does not want it to be banned here in the United States. Since he is a donor to Donald Trump has completely changed gears on TikTok. So that's one example of money in politics. No, I'm not gonna let you go because I gotta get through the Rand Paul portion. So with that said, let's go to Rand Paul because Cenk, it'll be like
keep
an
going,
hour long
going.
Video. You
keep
know
going,
it will.
Keep okay. going.
So let's get to whether or not Jeff Yass has any influence on Rand Paul, who's also against a ban on TikTok. We looked into this and it turns out that, apparently Yass is a Rand Paul donor by a lot. FEC records indicate Yass's favorite politician on the national scene is Paul, meaning Senator Rand Paul. Yass has given at least $23 million to Paul's political committees since mid-2015 when Paul was running for president. I don't even remember him running for president, but he did. But there's more. So there's a super PAC known as Kentucky Freedom, and it supports Republican Rand Paul's, it supported Rand Paul's reelection back in the 2022 midterms. Well, in March of 2021, Yass bankrolled Kentucky Freedom with a stunning contribution of $5 million. Yass is one of only three people who have ever given any money to Kentucky Freedom. The other donors bring the total receipts for Kentucky Freedom to nearly $6.2 million. So out of that $6.2 million, Jeff Yass contributed $5 million. Okay, so by far the biggest donor to this super PAC supporting Senator Paul was Jeff Yass, but it wasn't all that Yass gave to Rand Paul. Yass has been responsible for contributions of an additional $5.2 million to a different Paul super PAC called Protect Freedom. That's $10.2 million in Yass donations to Paul's political committees in less than 2 years.
And of course, that PAC shouldn't be called Protect Freedom. It should be called Protect My Corporate Interests.
Yep.
And that's exactly what Rand Paul has done under the guise of being a libertarian. Again, he happens to be right here. but only because he took a bribe while pretending to be against government and corruption and big government, big business. Oh, we're populist libertarians, are you? Yes, where's your money? Oh, I'm begging you. Oh, give me more, give me more. I'll do anything you say. Okay, so that's how politics works. So this is Trump and Rand Paul saying, yes, queen, and following orders as they are told. Now, get a load of this. Why I was trying to break in when Anna was talking about yes. Breaking news, Donald Trump is saying that he might pick Yaz as his Treasury Secretary.
Oh my God.
Now remember, guys.
Oh my God.
All of these Republicans, including Donald Trump, proposed a ban on TikTok. When Trump was president, he proposed a ban on TikTok. Jeff Yaz comes in and goes, hey, you little servants, who the hell did you think you are? I'm in charge, not you. Now shut up and reverse your position. And Trump did, and now a giant portion of the Republican Party has shifted their position because of the bribes given by Jeff Yaz. And we're worried about Chinese interference in our elections? And we're worried that the Chinese are influencing America? It's the donors that rule us.
Yeah, but corporate rule is okay.
Yeah.
All right, it's as American as apple pie these days.
Yaz is our queen. Yaz is the one that they serve, okay? And so keep it real. Now let's get to one other factor that's affecting this, and that's Facebook.
Right, so on the other side of the debate, the group that really, really wants a TikTok ban is Facebook. And Facebook has bankrolled or funded or worked along with a group known as Targeted Victory to push out messaging and plant stories in the press egging on a TikTok ban. And so this was a piece published in the Washington Post back in 2022. Let me give you a few excerpts. Facebook paid GOP firm to malign TikTok.
Of course. I told you.
Okay, let me give you some excerpts though. Placing op-eds and letters to the editor in major regional news outlets promoting dubious stories about alleged TikTok trends that actually originated on Facebook and pushing to draw political reporters and local politicians into helping take down its biggest competitors. That was the agenda. That was the objective for Targeted Victory. In fact, employees with Targeted Victory worked to undermine TikTok through a nationwide media and lobbying campaign portraying the fast-growing app as a danger to American children and society. So some of this messaging might have just originated from this group that was paid for by Facebook. And let me continue with the rest of that. According to internal emails shared by the Washington Post. And then one more excerpt that's relevant. One of the directors of the firm said that Targeted Victory needs to get the message out that while Meta is the current punching bag, TikTok is the real threat, especially as a foreign owned app that is number one in sharing data that young teens are using.
So guys, who can you trust and who can't you
trust? I don't know.
Media? Well, there's one group you can trust, us. Why? Because we tell you things ahead of time, and then you get to see if we're full of crap or if we're right. We told you that the politicians are all being bought off by corporate interests, and you see it spectacularly here. I told you that what a lot of times the attacks against social media are actually from other media organizations because they view them as competitors. In fact, Facebook is now doing it to TikTok, but where did they get it from? CNN and other mainstream media did it to Facebook. They started running stories about Facebook and YouTube. Oh, it's so dangerous. You and advertisers shouldn't spend a dime there. Boy, they are affecting the children. The children are very hurt by them. Remember, all the money should go to television advertising. Now Facebook is doing the same exact thing. Now remember, TikTok is hurting the children. Remember everybody go over to Facebook. And what do? They all hire lobbyists to buy off all of our politicians. And then they have the politicians lie on their behalf. But the hilarious thing now is that since it's turned into an auction, we have different corporate interests buying off different politicians and having a battle with themselves. Mm-hmm. And so now that's why we have the ironic situation where Rand Paul is accidentally telling the truth about TikTok because he was bought off by one of the owners of TikTok. Welcome to America, where everything is about corruption.
All right, we gotta take a break. When we come back, we will hear from someone at a MAGA rally who declared his love for me, Cenk, but also called you a racist.
Oh, great, okay. So they love you, but I'm the racist. We'll find out when we come back.
Yeah.